I just couldn't wait to share it with you. I got a birthday coming up, and our little granddaughter, well, you know what, you get my age, I'm not sure, you're glad you got them, but you don't want to count them anymore. But our little granddaughter's turning 5 in a couple weeks, and she sent me a card, and the address, it just said Papa, and it had my address. Papa doesn't have a last name. Papa is all I am. But it's here's the funny part. The more you have, now it's talking about birthdays are like boogers. I know this is not a good Sunday topic. Birthdays, here's the picture, are like boogers. The more you have, the harder it is to breathe. Enjoy your birthday. That's terrible. I got so mixed up. I'm going to try to breathe a little today. You know, we've been talking about a generous life and what that all means. And anytime we bring up the word generous, we think, well, we're going to talk about money. And we really haven't. It's certainly a part of being generous. But God has given us so many things to be generous with. Amen. Psalms 84:11 reminds us, all sunshine and sovereign is God, generous in gifts and glory. He doesn't scrimp with his traveling companions. That's who we are. We are his traveling companions. It's smooth sailing all the way with God of the angel armies. The Amplified Version said, he will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So, if we're here to carry on the work of Jesus, and our Heavenly Father is so gracious to us and so good to us and gives us so much, then he's likely going to require that of us. Our foundational verses this month is Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Generous living should be fueled by every area of your life. And there's got to be tangible proof of your generosity. You can't just keep this to yourself. God has given us a lot of ways to live generously, and we've talked about a few of those over the last few weeks. We talked about being generous with our time and our service. We talked about being generous with our talents and testimony. And today, as we kind of wrap this emphasis up, we're going to talk about being generous with our thanks and giving. Now, I know we're used to saying those two words together as one word, especially this week with Thanksgiving being Thursday. But we're going to separate them just a bit and talk about being generous with our thanks and being generous with our giving. So we're going to start with thanks. What does it mean to be generous with our thanks? I've known some people that will hardly ever say thank you to anyone. Those are usually people that feel they're entitled. They're usually people who are prideful. They're usually people who are mostly concerned with themselves. And it's like when folks give them something or do something for them or even give them a break, they somehow feel they deserve it, and therefore no thanks are needed. Well, that's not the way of a Jesus follower. In fact, Susan and I were with one of my cousins and his wife this week, and just for a supper. And my cousin, who is a year older than me, made a comment that I don't think I've ever heard anyone make before. He says, I cannot think of a time in my life where things weren't good. And I said, I have never heard anybody say that before. You might think, well, he's a privileged guy. No, he's really not. But he followed it up with, God has been so good to me that I can't think of a time that he wasn't good to me. And what a wonderful testimony that is. The Jesus follower that we're to be should be one that recognizes everything that's been given to us, but then we don't keep it for ourselves. We're reminded, the Apostle Paul writes this to the church in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's us. The Amplified Version says it this way: in every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. But I read it out of the Living Bible. I want you to listen to this. No matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Think about what being generous with our thanks speaks to other people. I want to be that kind of person. So thankful no matter what happens. I don't want to major on the times that things weren't so perfect in my life. I want to be overshadowed with the goodness of God. In the Gospel of Luke, we see an interesting scenario unfold in Luke 17, starting in verse 11. It happened that as he, and this is Jesus, made his way toward Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. He entered a village. 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but they raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." "Take a good look at them," Jesus said. "Go and show yourself to the priest," he told them. They went, and while they were still on their way, became clean. One of them, when realized he was healed, he turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful that he couldn't thank him enough. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus says, "Were not the 10 healed? Where are the other 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed you." The Amplified Version says, "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, glorifying and praising and honoring God with a loud voice. And he lay face downward at Jesus' feet, thanking him over and over." And he was a Samaritan. Now, one that was used to being overlooked by the Jewish people. Jesus paid attention to him. Now, it's easy to judge the 9 because it seems it'd be a no-brainer to be thankful for that. But how many times has that been us? How many times have we ignored how God and maybe others came through for us? How many times have we simply not acknowledged what God or maybe others have done? How many times have we just gone on with life without any acknowledgement of the blessing, the provision, the protection, or whatever transpired? You see, the enemy is famous for tricking us into feeling that we somehow deserve that blessing. The enemy is famous for making us feel entitled to be blessed. The enemy is famous for enticing us to respond in a selfish way. That is just his way. Now, I can remember in all the jobs I had as a young man, always wanting to be promoted and always wanting to get raises. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but that's what drove me. I wanted more responsibility and more money no matter what job I was at. I remember interviewing for my first full-time summer job at Jack's Shoe Store in Forest Acres. I was in my mid-teens. In the interview, this is what the manager said to me. He said, "Son, if you're planning on going to the beach first week of June, I'm not going to hire you. But if you can start immediately and work all summer, you got the job." Well, I did have plans to go to the beach first week, but I wanted the job more. So I quickly accepted the job at $1.15 an hour. That was steady money to me. Steady money. 40 hours a week, I could break home about $40. But I worked very hard all summer long and was kept on during the part-time for the school year. Now, after about a year of working hard, I felt I deserved a raise. So I discussed it with my assistant manager. His advice was to approach the manager about this, but don't talk about the fact that I worked harder than anybody else, or don't mention the fact that I was more diligent than others. Don't mention the fact that I get things done quicker than other people. Don't mention anything to brag about myself. Well, I worked up my courage, and I approached the manager for a raise. Sadly, I didn't heed any of that advice that I'd been given by the assistant manager. I spent my time talking about how much better I was than any other staff member. And guess what? I did not get the raise. I was still at $1.15 an hour. Thankful that he didn't fire me on the spot. But see, you think about this. I thought I deserved a raise. I felt I was entitled to a raise. I felt superior to the others because of how hard I worked. Now, nothing I told him was particularly wrong, but it was my heart attitude that you owe me this. I'm better than anybody else here. Now, I did work harder than anybody else there. I was more diligent, and I did it faster than anybody else. All that stuff was true. But my assistant manager said, listen, just don't talk about that part. Just ask him for it. I learned a big lesson that day. And from that day on, I was thankful for my job. Even thankful for the wage. I stopped being so selfish, so entitled. And from that day on, as I went into work, every time, my gratitude, my thankfulness, my appreciation for my job was front and center. I can't remember if I ever got a raise. I can't remember that part. But at that point, it didn't matter to me. You know, money does kind of matter to you, a 15, 16-year-old. But it was no longer the thing I was going to lead with. I became generous with my thanks. Listen to the power of being generous with our thanks in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The challenge is to change your action. Change your action. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. The challenge is to change your perspective. Colossians 3, 17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The challenge, change your priorities. In Psalms 28, 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. The challenge is to change your focus. See, make being generous with your thanks your default setting. Not the thing you got to learn a big lesson to get to like I did. It needs to be something that's a default setting for you. See, I can tell you that even if your circumstances don't change immediately in your life, when you change your actions, when you change your perspective, when you change your priorities, when you change your focus and become generous with your thanks, things will change for you. They will eventually change for you. But it doesn't stop there. And I wrote the word plus. Your influence with Jesus will increase. Your light for Jesus will increase. Your saltiness for Jesus will increase. Your productivity for Jesus will increase. Get this. When you adopt God's way of living, everything changes. Everything changes. So I want you to be challenged in your thankfulness. You may be entitled to whatever you're asking for, but don't make that the thing you die with. Don't lead with that. Think about how grateful you are. Think about what my cousin said. I cannot think of a time in my life where things weren't going okay. Now, he's lost his father with a brain tumor. His mother died. He had a partner in his law firm suddenly die. I mean, there's plenty of things went wrong in his life. But what he was left with, I can't remember a time that God didn't come through. Even though he went through the stuff that we're all going through, we major on those things and somehow we crown those things king in our life and we forget about everything else that he's done. We ought to be generous with our thanks. Now, I want to talk just a little bit about being thankful and generous with our giving. Now, the dictionary defines giving as this: imparting or having the ability to impart, to invigorate, to vitalize voluntarily without expecting compensation or remuneration. That means that we are to be a giving person, forgetting about our needs. What if we lived our life generously like Jesus? I bet you won't have to ask Jesus for much. Because out of your thankfulness, out of your generosity, first of all, things in your life that matter change. You no longer are wanting the same kinds of things. But then the scripture that says God knows what you need before you need it, you look back and you begin to see how he's orchestrated things. I wonder if we've given it much thought as to what being generous with our giving actually does for others. We think about it, well, it's a little encroaching to us because we're doing without. But I want you to see it as an investment in God's economy. Once again, let's look at what we've been given. 2 Peter 1:3. For his divine power has bestowed on us absolutely everything necessary, a dynamic spiritual life and godliness through true and personal knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. He has given us everything we need to live this life that he's called us to lead. Deuteronomy 8:18. But you shall remember with profound respect the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore solemnly promised to your fathers as it is this day. Yes. The whole reason we can gather any kind of wealth is because God has given us the ability to do it. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and a personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. Those are the things that God has given us. And we can't forget Acts 1:8, but you'll receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses to tell people about me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. No, that's just a sampling of what God has given us. And here's an important reality. Nothing we've been given is solely for us. We get our paycheck. We think it's ours. Well, part of it's already gone, right? Government got their part straight up. And then, I don't know if anybody watched the Jetson cartoon growing up. You have to be my age or older. And this poor guy pulls out his wallet and he pulls out just one bill. And the wife takes the wallet with a full of money. And he's standing there with the bill. So listen, none of it's really ours, right? But we want to cling to it as if that is our hope. And our hope is not in the wealth in the natural. Our hope is in Jesus. It is so important that we realize that our responsibility, since we have been given much, we need to give much. It's for us to pass this on. Think about it. We're here in this earth, whatever we've gone through, we are to pass on what the Lord has given us, no matter what. We're a conduit. My cousin has no idea how impactful that one statement was to me. Is that we can count it all joy. Yes, things have gone wrong in our life. But I can tell you this, when things have gone wrong in my life, it's an opportunity for God to show you how strong he is. Even if you've made a stupid mistake, and I've made plenty of those, and have faced some consequences, God has been there. They've not been to my ruin. We're to be a conduit for Jesus. A conduit is a channel in which something is conveyed. We're to be that. We're to pass it on. John 15:5 says that Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. We're a branch. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For otherwise, apart from me, that is, cut off from the vital union with me, you can do nothing. I got this old truck I've been tinkering with, and I've got it parked off to the side of our driveway, and it's right next to these holly bushes. And the first time I pulled it in there, I scratched the old truck a little bit with them things. So I went in there and I began to cut them off. And the first day it fit perfectly. And then I realized, wait a minute, they're still attached to the vine. They're going to keep growing. So I have a regular discipline that I go in there with my hedges when it looks like it's starting to encroach my dear old truck, and I start cutting them. I want to grow that much in God that people might try to cut me off, but it's going to grow right back. And where it's a little aggravating next to my truck, the concept, we are branches plugged into Jesus. We used to sing a song, we're abiding in the vine. It was kind of a hokey song, but it was really scriptural. We are abiding in the vine. And as long as we're connected, we're going to continue to produce. And if I leave those bushes alone enough, they'll start producing berries. Now, they're pretty, but they're poisonous if you eat them. Not that I tried. I think one of our boys did, didn't he? He put some of those things in his mouth. But those things happen. You know, us boys, we eat all kind of stuff. But anyway, when it gets to that point, I know that my truck is not going to fit anymore. It's just too much. It is too. I would love for people to take notice how much I'm growing in the things of God. I'd love to begin to produce berries. Non-poisonous ones, I would hope, but produce berries, showing more growth. So Jesus tells us, he reminds us, that apart from him, that is cut off from vital union with him, you can do nothing. Matthew 10, the last part of verse 8 says this, freely you've received, freely give. I'm telling you, it is such. I got a text the other day from someone that was in the church years ago, and they said, listen, we just got this bonus we've been praying for. Do you think we're supposed to tithe on it? And then I thought about freely, we've received freely, we freely give. I didn't have to think long. I had to think how to put it without, you know, making them feel bad. It wasn't going to come to our church. They're in a church on the other side of the country. But this is what I said. I believe that anything God blesses me with monetarily, I have a responsibility to obey his word. Said it as nice as I could, and she responded. I saw it this morning. She responded. She said, you know, as soon as I typed that thing, I knew the answer. Thank you for being there, you know. And it wasn't anything that was earth-shattering, but I just shared what I do. And the reason I respond that way is that I want to stay in the vine. I don't want to be cut off. And I'm not talking about getting rich. I'm just talking about being faithful to God. Freely you have received, freely give. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things which he's called me to do. Through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Listen, when the enemy tells you that you are unable, unqualified, unprepared to be generous with your giving. When the enemy tells you that, and he will tell you that, you will hear this. Nah, you can't do that. You can't do away with it. The enemy is famous for telling us lies. Listen to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 9. I want you to think about, once again, the God factor. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who have welcomed him in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. And when God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. When you're tempted to be stingy, selfish, ungenerous, or maybe tight-fisted, remember this in Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us beforehand, taking paths which he set, so that we would walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. The challenge in life is this: to be generous with everything that God has given us in this life, especially in our thanks, especially in our giving. That they will know you are a Christian by the things that you value. They will know you're a Christian by who you trust. They will know you are a Christian from your generosity out of what's been given to you. If you think about everything that God has given you, I don't think there'll be enough paper. If you just begin to list those things that God has given you, it'll fill up a page. You'll turn it over and fill it up. You'll get another sheet and you'll fill it up. And those words will not be, "Jesus, I deserve this and you gave me this. Jesus, I was a hard worker and you gave me this. Jesus, I worked harder than anybody else around me and you gave me this." No, it will be out of your great mercy, out of the abundance of your mercy. "This is what you've given me." There's an old hymn, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and just see what God has done." And the reason the author wrote that is we have a tendency to have an amnesia. We have a tendency to forget what God has done. That's why we talked about testimony last week. That's why it's so important that you get used to talking about what God has done. Not in a "I deserve this" or an entitled position, but no. Maybe even that of surprise. "I can't believe God did this. I can't believe. I can't believe that this is what he did for me." And listen, if he stopped giving you things today, he's already given you far more than any of us ever deserve. But his mercies are new every morning. His love is new every morning. In fact, goodness and mercy is supposed to chase us, follow us all the days of our life. The only way to stop God from doing all these things is to be cut loose from the vine, cut loose from the source of life. The only way I could keep from having to trim these holly bushes every month or so is to cut them down. But even then, in time, they'll grow back because they're still connected to the source. Proverbs 11:24-25, Solomon's wise words: "The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed, and those who help others are also helped." Let's be as generous to others as Jesus is to us. That's big. And we cannot do that without his power. There's no way. You can get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be just like Jesus in my own strength, and you will fail probably before you get to the car. But if we rely on Him who has fulfilled us, who has filled us, who has poured into us, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. And even the stingiest person you know can become the most generous person once they are plugged into the vine, once they are connected to the life source. The enemy wants us to feel loss every time we are generous. But God wants you to know that He'll bless that generous act. He will bless that generous heart. And it is His heart that's causing you to do that. And you can't go wrong with that. So you need to silence the enemy when he tells you stuff that Jesus directly tells you. The Word of God is so vital to have at instant recall because you need it to fight the attacks of the enemy. We've got the shield of faith. We've got the Word of God. We've got all those things that God has provided, all those things for us to live this life in victory. And we will be like my cousin, even though he went through a lot of stuff. He can't remember when God wasn't good to him. I wonder, is that the first thing under our skin when we get hit? Do we remember, wait a minute, God's always been good to me? This might be whatever it is. Or does it send you down a path of thinking that God is not good? There's not a scripture you can pull that will bring up that says God is not good. He is good. His mercies endureth forever. He loves us unconditionally. He is not withholding anything good from us as long as we are connected to the vine. Generous hearts come. God's way of generosity, hearts come from being tapped into the vine, tapped into the lifeblood. And He wants you to succeed and prosper in life. But He doesn't want you to feel like you're entitled to it. Because if the truth's known, we don't deserve anything but death. We don't deserve anything based on our abilities. No. It's all the grace of God. The grace of God. And when we understand the grace of God and we don't misuse the grace of God, it is a life source. Because the Bible tells us that we're going to still mess up on this side of heaven. I'm in need of God's grace and generosity every day. And I think you are too. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.